Hi, it's your pal Steamed Hams. Join me every week on the Unforgettable Luncheon as we discuss topics in the nerd world like gaming, comics, cartoons, and whatever else may cross my mind. You can find me on the socials as SteamedHams81 on Twitch, Twitter, and Instagram, and YouTube. You can also find me as the Unforgettable Luncheon on Facebook. And check out Steamed Hams Merchatorium, the link to which will be in the description of this podcast. The Unforgettable Luncheon. Nerd comedy at its okayest.
Resident Evil. What a long and winding series. Oh, you thought I was done before? How about no? See, last episode was just the Raccoon City T-Virus saga. We still have like 5 games worth of viruses, parasites, spores, molds, and fungus to cover. So strap in, craft some ammo and healing herbs. Again, not those herbs. And get ready for Surviving the Horror of Resident Evil Part 2, today on the Unforgettable Luncheon. Hi, it's your pal Steamed Hams. I hope you're ready for an Unforgettable Luncheon. Before we hop into today's show, I'd like to say something. It's been a year since I've started this podcast, which came about by someone at work who was most vocal on the subject of me having a podcast. Do you have a podcast? Why don't you have a podcast? When are you going to get a podcast? So now, I have a podcast. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the support of so many listeners and fans. I'd like to thank some of my top fans in particular who have been with me since the beginning. Livin' 80s AC, Second City Gamer, Tinkerbell the Regulator, and Voodoo 6, who, I might add, is the cover model for Lady Dimitrescu on today's cover. You guys are awesome, as is my entire community. Thank you so much. And now, on with the show. When we last left the Resident Evil series, Raccoon City had been blown to tiny bits by the U.S. government to contain the absolute fuck-up that was Umbrella Corporation's T-Virus outbreak, which turned everyone into bloodthirsty zombies and mutants.
But, Steamed Hams, if they blew up every last piece of the T-Virus, how do we have more games?
Great question, me using another voice? They came up with other goofy viruses, parasites, and the whatnot in order to continue. It's called creativity. Something I lack. Now, where were we in the series? Oh, right. Resident Evil 4. Resident Evil 4 was released in 2005 for the GameCube. That's right, I said the GameCube. As an exclusive, too. Which meant it didn't get going any of the consoles for a while. The story follows Leon Kennedy, who is now an agent for the U.S. government, as his previous job in Raccoon City kinda no longer exists. You know, what with the town being a crater and all. He's in rural Spain, tracking down Ashley, the daughter of the President of the United States, who's currently backpacking through Europe alone, because that's what the daughter of the most powerful leader in the free world does. No security, no secret service, you know. And you know, at some point, some secret service agents were actually playing this game and yelling bullshit at the screen. Of course, shocker, she was kidnapped by a cult, Los Illuminados, or the Illuminated. Their plan, to infect Ashley with the Las Plagas parasite, a mind-controlling parasite. Then she goes home, infects her daddy, and voila!
World domination!
These bozos are led by a man named Osmond Sadler. Of course, Leon gets himself captured, and, well, infected. Because plot. He's held captive with former Madrid police officer Luis Serra. The two escape, and of course go their separate ways, as Leon goes to a church to rescue Ashley from good old Osmond, where he reveals his cartoon supervillain plan to Leon. Leon kills the infected village chief, and he and Ashley take refuge in a castle that turns out is owned by another one of Ozzy's henchmen. Damn, this dude really takes care of his henchmen if one of them can afford a castle. Of course, property values are probably a little easier to deal with in rural Spain. We don't know. You know, henchmen pay, but sure has come a long way. I gotta be a henchman now or something, you know?
Meanwhile,
Luis searches for a Las Plagas sample to swipe and for some pills that will slow Leon and Ashley's infection. He gives the pills to Leon, but is killed by Ozzy, who runs off with a sample. With the help of Ada Wong, remember her? Leon escapes the castle, kills its owner, and takes off towards an island research facility run by the bad guys. I mean, I have to ask. It's an island research facility, like an evil bad guy base. Was there like a volcano with a skull carved into it? Please tell me there was, because that would be awesome. I haven't played this game, unfortunately. You know, Leon, of course, runs into an old training buddy, Jack, who was believed killed in a helicopter crash 2 years prior. Well, guess what? He's not dead. Turns out, his dumbass decided to kidnap Ashley to begin with, you know, which it was all to get closer to Ozzy and steal a Las Plagas sample. You know, that was... But why? It makes no sense. Jack and Ada were both working with Albert Wesker. Ozzy decides to try to get Jack to kill Leon, figuring no matter who wins, he wins. Leon kills Jack, rescues Ashley, and they both get rid of their infection with a little radiation therapy. Leon and Ada kill Ozzy, Ada steals the sample, and Leon and Ashley escape James Bond style in a jet ski from the exploding island. The end, I guess? Not so fast. Let's move on to Resident Evil 5, released in 2009. In this, you play as Chris Redfield, who is now an agent for the Bioterrorism Security Assessment Alliance, or BSAA. Not USAA, the insurance company, but the BSAA. He and his partner Sheva Alomar are tasked with apprehending Ricardo Irving in the Kijuju region of West Africa before he sells a bioorganic weapon, or BOW, on the black market. They arrive to find the locals have all been infected with Las Plagas, and have slaughtered the BSAA team that was there before. They're rescued by another BSAA team led by Sheva's old mentor, Captain Josh Stone. Chris sees a photo in Stone's data that looks like Jill, his old STARS partner. You remember Jill Valentine? One of the survivors of Raccoon City. Of course, through many adventures, they track down Irving, and he points them to a cave that has flowers that all the viruses to this point had been made from, along with a new strain called Ouroboros. Chris and Sheva learn that Tricell, the company funding the BSAA, took over an old umbrella underground lab and continued their research, because they wanted to fuck around and find out. Ever notice that how in fiction it seems like stupid people run these huge corporations? You know, it's like, hey, this is the stuff that destroyed an entire town. Let's play with it. You know, it's like this company, these companies are where OCP executives who aren't hilariously murdered go when they're fired for making decisions too ridiculous for OCP. RoboCop reference! And of course, Tricell's CEO, Excella Gion, has been plotting with Wesker, I swear, he's like a superpower cockroach, isn't he? To launch missiles containing Ouroboros to fuck up the world. He also plans on keeping a chosen few away from the chaos to rule for himself. Ah, that Wesker. Resident Evil villains are just always screwy. Chris and Sheva pursue Excella, but are stopped by Wesker and a brainwashed Jill. They defeat her and remove the mind control device, so now she's a good guy again. Wesker betrayed Excella, shocker, and has infected her with Ouroboros. She turns into a giant monster, like they all do in a boss fight. And, of course, is defeated by Chris and Sheva. They disable Wesker's bomber full of Ouroboros, and it falls into a volcano. Wesker gets pissed, exposes himself to the new virus, Ouroboros, I like saying Ouroboros, and fights the heroes through the volcano. He falls into the lava, and he tries to down the rescue helicopter piloted by Captain Stone and Jill. Chris hits Wesker with a few RPGs, and Wesker is finally defeated, destroyed, gone, we're never going to fucking see him again. Now the fun thing is you can replay this game after you finish it, but using Sheva as your main character instead of Chris, which opens up some new possibilities because she had, you know, abilities or tools that Chris didn't. So it's kind of like playing through Resident Evil 1 with Chris and Jill because they had their different abilities and drawbacks. So it was a fun game. I liked it. I actually used to own that one a long time ago. I should get it back. Resident Evil 6, released in 2012, is just insanity. Yeah, we're going to go Spaceballs on this and do the short version, because otherwise we're going to be here for like the next hour just with this game. And it is a doozy. It stars Chris Redfield, Sherry Birkin, Leon Kennedy, Ada Wong, and new characters Piers Niven's, Helena Harper, and Jake Mueller, who is the son of Albert Wesker. They must combat the new C virus that straight turns people into monsters. Chris and Pierce combat the infected populace of Edonia after a bioterrorism attack. They're confronted by the leader of Neo Umbrella, Ada Wong. Or so she says she is. The team, except for Chris and Pierce, are mutated and killed. Chris goes into a guilt-ridden self-exile. Jake and Sherry are abducted after a failed extraction by the BSAA and captured by who, well, they think is Ada Wong, and held for about 6 months. Sherry was to help extract Jake to help create a vaccine for the C virus. 6 months later, after the president was infected and then defeated by Leon and Helena, they discovered National Security Advisor Derek Simmons did it after they encountered the real Ada Wong. He did it for national security reasons. He didn't want people to know the government was involved with everything with Raccoon City. So, turn the president into a monster to have him killed? Why, dude? So they all run off to China while faking their deaths in order to pursue Simmons. Jake and Sherry escape the same time as the others arrive. Chris returns to duty with Pierce and a new team, and they also head to China at the same time. Because story. The whole crew pursues Simmons, who is infected and, of course, becomes a monster. He's destroyed and another BOW shows up. Pierce is wounded, injects himself with C-virus to battle the creature. He sacrifices himself after getting Chris to safety to destroy the BOW and the base, because he knew his infection was going to get worse. The fake Ada was revealed to be a scientist named Carla Radames, who was forced to turn into Ada, you know, by Simmons, like a kind of lookalike. She was changed. It was weird and convoluted. She, of course, like all the fucking villains in this game, uses C-virus to mutate and is promptly defeated. Neo Umbrella is gone, lab destroyed, everyone lives happily ever after. Or so we think. Resident Evil 7, Biohazard, was released in 2017. Now this one follows a new protagonist, Ethan Winters, as he attempts to rescue his wife, Mia, in rural Louisiana. Now this one is also long and bonkers, and I'll be honest, I never really played it past the demo, so bear with me, because I had to read about it. Okay, I'm trying to make it a little more straightforward. It's the first mainline game also to go with the first-person perspective rather than the traditional third-person, which was nice because everything from 4 to 6 got rid of the tank controls too, so they're evolving. So essentially what happens is Ethan receives a message from his wife Mia, who's been missing for 3 years. That's kind of, you know, ominous. He heads down to rural Louisiana and finds her in the guest house of a mansion, locked in the basement. During their escape, Mia goes batshit crazy and attacks Ethan, forcing him to kill her. A woman named Zoe calls him and offers assistance. Right after, a revived Mia attacks again and cuts off his left hand. He subdues her, but then is knocked down by Jack Baker, the patriarch of the family that lives in the main house. He drags Ethan and Mia to the house and holds them captive. Jack's family includes wife Marguerite, son Lucas, and an old woman in a wheelchair that they don't really identify. But we'll get to her. Ethan escapes, repeatedly fights Jack, who has just absolutely fucking crazy-ass regenerative powers, like Deadpool-level ones. And he finally takes him down by destroying his whole upper body. Zoe reveals that she's actually the baker's daughter, and that she, her family, and Mia are all infected with the same ailment. It can be cured with a special serum, but Ethan has to get it from Marguerite. Good luck with that if she's as crazy and powerful as Jack. But because story, Ethan kills Marguerite, and he gets the stuff. He also starts having visions of a little girl, and can't understand why. He returns to find Zoe and Mia kidnapped by Lucas, and Ethan has to get through a booby-trapped barn to rescue them. Booby. Oh, wait, we're a game early for that joke. Sorry. Lucas runs up after Ethan frees the ladies, and he's able to make a pair of serum doses. They get attacked by Jack, now heavily mutated, seeing his upper body was completely destroyed. You know, Ethan uses one of the serum doses to kill Jack. And then you have to choose who you give the other one to. Now, the canonical path is Mia, but you can also cure Zoe instead. Either way, you'll eventually encounter Mia in a crashed tanker ship. Mia's memory returns. It turns out she was a covert operative for a criminal organization who developed the young girl, Eveline, as a bioweapon. Now, Lucas, strangely enough, was unaffected. He was actually cured of the ailment by this criminal organization in return for kind of like watching over everybody and the effects and Eveline. So they developed Eveline as a bioweapon because why the fuck not? You know, let's again, fuck around and find out. So turns out Eveline was being transported on the tanker ship. And when she realized what in the wide, wide world of sports was going on, she escaped containment and killed or infected everyone on the ship. She infected Mia to force her to be her mother because this poor girl had grown up without a family. So, we got that going for us. Mia gives Ethan a vial of Eveline's genetic material, and depending on who you cured, you either kill Mia permanently, or she gets you out of the ship to be able to defeat Eveline. Eveline's ability is to infect everyone with a psychotropic fungus known as the mold. She controls their mind, but it breeds insanity, super strength, and regenerative abilities in the victims. Now, using a lab, Ethan is able to make a toxin to kill Eveline because apparently this guy has, like, super science-y skills or some shit. You know, they don't tell us nothing about him. So, he gets to her, he injects her with it, but it doesn't kill her. It reveals that she was the old woman in the wheelchair all along. Our powers make her age 25 times faster than a normal person, so she was given meds by this little criminal organization to keep her young. She's now vulnerable, but forms into a giant mold monster because boss fight! With help from a squad of soldiers led by Chris Redfield, thought you'd seen the last of him, huh? Ethan defeats Eveline and is extracted. Now, if you cured Mia, she's with you. If not, you kind of forget about her. And now, on to the final game of the series, so far. Resident Evil 8, aka Resident Evil Village, with the 8 cleverly hidden in the word village in Roman numerals, continues the story of Ethan and Mia Winters. Now in a small European village, courtesy of Chris and his team, they're living a quiet life with their 6-month-old daughter, Rosemary. One night, Chris and his team storm in, kill Mia, and take Rosemary and Ethan. Ethan awakens next to the crashed transport van and finds the village being terrorized by lichens, the fancy word for werewolf. Werewolf? Their wolf. Their castle. The village is governed by 4 mutant lords. Lady Dimitrescu, the 9-foot-tall, big-titty vampire Pixar mom the internet had a weird crush on. The ghost-like Donna Beneviento. Herman Munster. Merman, Salvatore Moreau. And Carl Heisenberg, who can manipulate electromagnetic fields. And probably hangs out with a junkie named Jesse. Wouldn't shock me. They're governed by Mother Miranda, the village priest. That doesn't sound weird at all. Ethan is unable to save the rest of the villagers from the werewolves and is captured by Heisenberg to be brought before Miranda and the other lords. I mean, technically, 2 of them aren't lords or ladies, but splitting hairs. Ethan escapes a death trap from Heisenberg and makes his way to Lady Dimitrescu's castle to search for Rosemary. He's assisted by a mysterious merchant known as the Duke. Ethan kills tall Pixar mommy and her daughters and receives a flask containing Rosemary's head. That's not creepy at all. The Duke explains that Miranda placed Rosemary's parts into four separate flasks for a special rite, but she can be reassembled if Ethan gets the other three flasks from the other lords. He defeats Donna and Salvatore, and passes a test from Heisenberg for his flask. Heisenberg proposes joining forces, but Ethan says, fuck that shit, after learning that Heisenberg plans on weaponizing his daughter. Because, yes, you want to weaponize a six-month-old? Less power to you. Alright, so, yeah. Weird shit going on in this village. Ethan learns that Chris's squad is in town and confronts him over Mia's death. It turns out Mia was actually Miranda in disguise, because she had the power of mimicry, and was intending to kidnap Rosemary, which she succeeded in after the transport was crashed. Chris destroys Heisenberg's factory, Ethan kills Heisenberg, and Miranda rips out Ethan's heart. So, he's dead? Great! Chris extracts Rosemary while a BSAA team distracts Miranda. Chris finds a cave full of Megamacet, the mold from Resident Evil 7. Turns out Miranda has lived for a century after contact with the mold, and was a mentor to Oswald Spencer, founder of Umbrella. The fungus was the basis for the T-Virus and all their other weird-ass experiments, and Miranda was trying to use it to revive her daughter Eve, who died of the Spanish flu. Way back when. The Lords, the Lycans, and Eveline were all failed experiments. I don't know. 9-foot-tall, big-titty, vampire, goth girlfriend, Pixar mom. That don't sound very failed. I mean, yes. Yeah. You know, back to the story. Rosemary, though, was perfect due to her abilities inherited from Ethan and Mia. Chris frees Mia, and Ethan, it turns out, had been infected with the mold in Resident Evil 7, and was already killed at least once by Jack Baker. So Ethan didn't know this because of his revival. He had regenerative powers the whole damn time. Now Miranda attempts to revive Eve, but revives Rosemary instead. So of course she gets pissed. She attacks Ethan and is killed right before the mold busts through the ground. Ethan knows that his healing powers are strained, like they're at their max. So he stays behind to detonate a bomb planted by Chris, while Mia, Chris, and Rosemary extract. Chris discovers that the BSAA squad that assisted with Miranda were all bioweapons. So he and his squad end the story in the cutscenes with a little trip to the European headquarters to investigate. The end. Now, Resident Evil was a crazy, long, and winding story full of twists, turns, conspiracies, and craziness. Now, I will admit, as I admitted before, I have not played 4, 7, or 8, but I will probably get to them at some point. I do enjoy what I did play and hope to complete the series one day. Well, that's it for another Unforgettable Luncheon. I hope a good time was had by all. Thank you all for a great first year. Now, I will be taking a 2 to 3 week hiatus as I'm going to experiment with video, as I've been repeatedly requested to do a video episode, so that will be on the horizon. Until then, you can find me on all the socials, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and TikTok as SteamedHams81, and Facebook as The Unforgettable Luncheon. And don't forget to check out my merchandise store, which helps support this podcast. Steamed Hams Merchatorium is what it's called. Links to all in the description of this episode. I'm your host, Steamed Hams. Join me next time when the topic will be something nerdy.